Dr. Arthur Perry. He's one of the top plastic surgeons. He's got offices in Manhattan, New Jersey. You know, and he's been doing a show here on WOR for years and years and years. Very popular show and a great plastic surgeon. Everybody has questions on this subject, so he's the guy to ask. Dr. Arthur Perry.
No, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
And I went to his office, and I said, look at my face. And he goes, yeah, look at your face. We're going to do with your face. What can you do with his face? I go like that. I swear to God. I go, look at this. I'm getting old. I said, I want to, maybe you could fix it up a little bit.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to again applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry, the best in plastic surgery.
Remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. And I hope you're all having a wonderful weekend. It's kind of a little cloudy now. And the UV index is down to 1. And those of you who listen to me know exactly what that means. You don't need sunscreen anymore when the UV index is 1. You need it when it's 3. And it sure was earlier today and it will be tomorrow. So get your sunscreen ready. Well, this is the show about you. This is the show about what you look like. It's about your jowls. Do you have those? If you're over 50, you sure do, unless you've had plastic surgery. This is the show about wrinkles. And if you're over 35 or spent a lot of time in the sun at the beach, on the Jersey Shore, if you're in the Hamptons for the weekend, well, you're working on your wrinkles, right? And this is the show about those. This is a show about small breasts and droopy breasts and bellies that protrude. And maybe even spider veins. That's what we talk about on the show. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon, host of the show for 17 years from these microphones. And today we're broadcasting from the beautiful state of New Jersey. Is that an oxymoronic term? I don't know. But certainly we're in... Oh, my God, all my patients are going to say, what did you say about New Jersey? No, it's very nice in New Jersey, as it is in New York and Connecticut and all my listeners from all over the country. I got to get myself out of that one, right? All right. Well, we're going to be talking today about you, about your wrinkles, about your fat, about your droopy breasts and your belly. And if you want to be part of the show, give me a call. 800-321-0710 is the phone number here at WOR. 800-321-0710. We're giving away bottles of Beauty in a Bottle. That's the new name for my Daytime. Daytime is an SPF 23 sunscreen. It's a zinc oxide containing sunscreen. That means there are no chemicals. Well, you know, that's a hard one to really define, right? Because we're all made of chemicals. But this sunscreen is one that does not get absorbed into your body. And that's the beauty of zinc oxide. It stays on the surface of the skin and simply reflects the ultraviolet light. And that's really what you want your sunscreen to do. You don't want it to get into your body, circulate around every organ of your body, interrupt your hormones. That's what the clear sunscreens do. And I feel quite religious about sunscreen. So that's what we're giving away tonight. If you give me a call, 800-321-0710, we'll send you home with a bottle of Daytime. All right. Tonight, I've got a really, really good show. It sounds like, Ed Sullivan, right? A really good show tonight. Those of you under 50 don't know who Ed Sullivan is. But certainly, we've got Dr. Michael Roizen. He's going to be coming on. Mike and I did this radio show for 6 years. And he's been a frequent guest on the show. He is one of the brightest physicians I know in the world. He's the chief wellness officer of the Cleveland Clinic. He's coming on in a little bit of time. He's going to talk about how you can keep your bones healthy. And he's got all sorts of ideas. I learn something every time Dr. Roizen comes on the show. And we've got the new chief of plastic surgery at Columbia. Dr. Christine Rohde is going to be coming on later in the show. We'll talk to her. And, of course, we'll get to your questions because that's really what I'd like to do, answer your questions. And, the ones that have been keeping you up at night. I know you sit in bed at 2 in the morning and you say, I don't know, do I need a facelift? Do I need a laser? Is it filler? What is it that I need? Well, I'm the guy to ask. Give me a call. 800-321-0710 is the phone number right here at WOR. Give me a call. Well, we're going to talk about facelifts today. It's one of the favorite operations that I do. I do a lot of facelifts. And it's interesting because I have been in practice over 30 years now. And at the beginning of my career, I did mostly breast augmentations and liposuction and rhinoplasties. I still do a tremendous number of those procedures. But as I've gone through my career, my patients have aged, as I have, and now I'm doing those very same patients who I did the breast lift on or the breast augmentation or the rhinoplasty when they were 20. Well, I'm doing their facelifts now when they're in their 50s or their eyelid lifts or their brow lifts. And it's an interesting evolution of my practice. And I guess, thank you. It's a testimony to my patients and sticking with me as they age. I take care of you. And we go through time together, and now I'm taking care of your aging issues as I took care of your youth issues before. It's interesting. I saw a woman, she listens to the show, when she was 3 years old. I used to do a lot of burns because I ran the burn unit at Cornell for a year. And I saw, she had soup spill on her inner thigh as a three-year-old, and I took care of her at the Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital. She comes in now for Botox in her 30s. It's really... you feel old when you see patients like that, but it's very rewarding. And she remembered me all these years, and now she needs her Botox. So it is interesting. All right. So we're going to talk about facelifts. And facelifts are one of the most common procedures in the United States. They're one of the most common procedures that I do. I do many, many facelifts, and I love the procedure. It's evolved over the years. So when I started my residency, I actually did a facelift fellowship in Miami with a couple guys named Baker and Gordon, not the Baker in New York, but the Baker in Miami, the inventors of the chemical peel, and they revolutionized facelifting in the 1970s and 1980s and 1990s. Really amazing surgeons. And I spent quite a few months with them in a fellowship after my residency before I came up to the East Coast and learned a tremendous amount. And so I've always loved doing facelift. But back in the old days in my fellowship, we did what was called a long scar facelift. That means I made incisions in the hairline above the eyebrow. And then it carried to the front of the ear, and then it went behind the ear into the scalp. And boy, those incisions were always visible. With me or with Dr. Baker or with any of the surgeons I've ever seen or operated with, or for that matter, any facelift I've ever seen, you can see the incisions behind the ear. So the big advance about 10 or 12 years ago was to make a short scar facelift, to redo the whole thought process of the facelift operation and change it so that we now do a short scar in most patients. That means there's no incisions in the hair. And boy, that does a lot for you. First of all, it doesn't raise the hairline. Remember the old Phyllis Diller jokes, the hairline keeps going up and up. Or Joan Rivers, every time she had a facelift, up went the hairline and went way up. But we don't do that anymore because we don't need to raise the hairline at all. We don't lose any hair at a facelift because the incisions don't go into the hairline. So that's a good thing. They stay in front of the ear, inside the ear, and for a short distance behind the ear. But you can wear your hair up in a ponytail. You can wear it in, does anyone wear pigtails anymore, but braids, whatever it is you want to do. You want to go swimming at the beach. So if you want to go to Southampton, sure, you can go in the water and you can get wet. You can come out of the water with a short scar facelift and no one will see your incisions because the short scar simply doesn't go behind the ear. So that has been a major change in my facelift evolution about 10 or 12 years ago. And it's really changed the way I do it. The operation takes just as long. It is better for you because the incisions are shorter. There's less chance of injury to the nerves of the face because we just don't go into the areas that we used to go into. So what does a facelift actually accomplish? What does it do? Well, you kind of have an idea, right? But a lot of people don't understand what a facelift is. Is it a neck lift? Is it a cheek lift? Does it involve the brow? It's a very poorly termed operation, the facelift, and it really is misunderstood by so many people, and it's perpetuated by the press, and they just don't understand what a facelift really is. So let me try and explain what it is. As you get older, you head south, right? I mean, you get jowls. The jowls break up that very smooth jawline that you have when you're, let's say, 30, right? But when you hit 63, you get those jowls. You hit 60, maybe 55. You get jowls, and that's disturbing when you look in the mirror. And also what happens is the skin of the neck begins to relax, and it exposes the bands of the neck. Oh, so those of you who are going to a party tonight or going out to dinner, here's the word for the muscles of the neck. They're called the platysma muscle. Platysma. It's a hard word to say and a hard word to remember, so I just call them the bands of the neck. And when I fix those bands, I call it a band lift, which is really a neck lift. And so the first part of a facelift is a neck lift. And most facelifts, I do a neck lift. And then we have to approach the jowls. And I make an incision in front of the ear, and I lift up the skin of the face. Sounds terrible, doesn't it? And those of you who are squeamish, you know, hang up, you know, turn the radio off, because we're going to be talking about this now. And, you know, it's always predictable in the operating room where my medical students faint. Certain parts of the facelift, certain parts of the eyelid lift, I know exactly when it's going to happen. Even medical students do faint, because, and those are the ones that don't go into the surgery, by the way. If you faint in the operating room, I don't think you have a career in surgery. You go into radiology or something like that. But in a facelift, I lift up that first layer of skin and I expose the jowl. I can actually look at it. I can see it. And if there's extra fat in it, I'll trim that fat directly. And then I lift the jowl in its own layer. So it's called a two-layer facelift. And most plastic surgeons in the United States do a two-layered facelift. And that layer, you don't really need to know what the name of it is. Those of you who are really curious, it's called the SMAS. You might see that online. So that's a two-layered facelift that most of us do. Probably two-thirds of the facelifts in the United States are two-layered facelifts. And we remove the little bit of fat of the jowl, and we lift the jowl so that you have a smooth, sharp jawline once again. And then I remove extra skin. And it's really a tailoring operation, and it's an operation that really involves artistry, because it's easy to take too much. It's easy to hang the ear on the skin of the face so that it gets tethered. You've all seen those. If you've walked up the Upper East Side, walk on First Avenue, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You see these earlobes that are pulled, not a good sign, right? Not an artistic facelift. We don't want that. So we're going to take a short break now. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Dr. Michael Roizen. We're going to continue the topic of facelift surgery throughout the show. 800-321-0710 is the phone number. Stay tuned. We'll be back after these words. You know that most skincare is useless, even fraudulent, and often toxic? I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. I needed great skincare for my patients, but really could not find products that dramatically improve skin health. So I went to the books, and I created a line of skincare that reduces the appearance of wrinkles and truly rejuvenates skin. I want everyone to try my products, and so for a limited time, I'm offering my Beauty in a Bottle Nighttime Serum at a great price. Normally, this is $65, but for WOR listeners, it's $40 plus shipping. Nighttime contains vitamin C and A, fruit acids, antioxidants, and skin brighteners. That's all you need for beautiful skin. It's so simple that your friends and relatives will be asking you, "What are you doing to look so good?" Go to drperrys.com, that's drperrys.com, or give us a call at 844-DR-PERRY. Use the WOR20 code for the discount. To learn more, listen every Saturday evening, 6 p.m., right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And we are back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. And I am so pleased to introduce my next guest. I mean, hard to call him a guest because we co-hosted this show for 6 years, Mike. Mike Roizen, the world-famous physician from the Cleveland Clinic. Are you there, Mike?
Something like 6 years, yes.
Yeah, and for you, it was just torture. But for me, it was ecstasy. I learned I learned something every week. I really did. You expanded.
So it was wonderful.
Well, you know, listening to you, it was like a lecture in medical school that was fun, you know, where you sat in the front seat and took frantic notes, because Dr. Michael Roizen was, we met at the University of Chicago, where he was the chairman of the anesthesia department. He went on to not that wasn't great, but he became the dean of Syracuse Upstate Medical School, the chief wellness officer of the Cleveland Clinic, and the chairman of the Department of Anesthesia. He's board certified in both internal medicine and anesthesia, and was the first chief wellness officer at a hospital in the United States, correct, Mike?
Well, at a major institution, yes. There may have been some others, but we didn't know of them.
We don't talk about the little places. just the important places like the Cleveland Clinic. What's your title now? You're chief wellness officer emeritus, or what is it now?
Correct.
Okay.
Exactly.
And of course, those of you who have read Dr. Roizen's books, he came up with the concept of Real Age and wrote Real Age, You, the Owner's Manual with Dr. Mehmet Oz, and many, many other books. Your latest one is what, Mike?
Well, the latest one that is published is the What to Eat When cookbook. And the one that's coming out is called The Great Age Reboot, which is basically cracking the longevity code to live younger for longer. It's how to extend your 20s, 30s, and 40s. So
and when is that coming out?
That's coming out January 4th, 2022, whatever it is, in 6 months. But the key concept, Arthur, is that you can extend your 20s, 30s, and 40s. That is, if 60 is now the new 40, by 2030, because of a huge amount of money, effort, and passion in research into aging mechanisms, you're going to actually be able to turn back the clock, we think, with at least an 80% probability, meaning 90, when you're 90, you will be able to feel, act, and look 40.
Well, I'm waiting for that. Many years off. So I'm going to go back in time as I get older. So that's good. I just took your Real Age test, Mike. And those of you, you go to realage.com and take the test that Dr. Roizen devised almost 30 years ago, Mike, has it been? No, 25. What do you?
Well, it's 23.
Yeah. So I took the Real Age test, and much to my disgust, I only went down 7 years from my chronological age. But at least that's down and not up, right? I mean, what do you think about that?
Correct. And that's pretty good for an old guy who has to work for a living like you do, and literally standing up all the time doing procedures to make other people look and feel younger. Pretty darn good.
All right. Well, that you make me feel better. So that's good, because I'm working on that. Next year, I want it to be another year or two younger. So I brought you on today because...
And that's really the joy of what the program does. I don't know if you got to the full program, but what it does is it suggests the choices you can make to help yourself have a younger real age still, and prioritizes them so you can prioritize them. You can select any order. Probably gave you 20 or 30 things you could do, but you can select either the biggest ones or the easiest ones, et cetera. And as you said, it's at realage.com or at sharecare.com.
And no more French fries and no more saturated fats in my cheese, right?
Correct.
All right. Well, that's a hard one, but we'll give it a whirl. All right. So I brought you on. A friend of mine, Susan, asked me over the last week. She said she asked me about these different drugs for osteoporosis. And I went to you because you know everything about osteoporosis. And we talked years ago about one of the non-medical things you could do to improve the density of your bone. What do you think of the drugs for osteoporosis, Mike?
So the drugs are very effective. Now, the best one, you know, the interesting thing is each of the drugs, there's processes that go on when you lose bone. So your bones are like the Eiffel Tower. They look like it. They're hollowed out in the middle, and that gives you the Eiffel Tower's strength. The Eiffel Tower was actually modeled after bone strength to give it more strength. And so it has that lattice nature structure. But what happens as we have two things happening. We have bone reabsorption, that is, it gets reabsorbed constantly, and we have bone being laid down. It gets laid down. So you've got what we call osteoblasts. They put bone down, and osteoclasts, they reabsorb bone. All of the drugs until about 6-8 months ago were ones that either increased or blocked resorption. So they blocked reabsorption, but they also slowed bone laying down, or they increased bone laying down, but they also increased reabsorption. So nobody worked on the same thing. But then one of the drug companies, very cleverly found a family. This is 10 years ago. Found a family of very strong-boned people in Africa, and they found that they made a protein from one of the genes they have that both increased the putting down of bone, they increased osteoblastic activity, and they decreased osteoclastic activity, meaning they decreased reabsorption. So they actually strengthened the bone in two ways. Evenity is the name of that drug.
What's that name again?
Because most of the drug company, most of the insurance companies make sure that you have failed or have an allergy to one of the others, et cetera. But it is the best of the drugs is this thing that both lays down bone and blocks the reabsorption of bone. So it really does work to make your bones stronger. Almost all of the others have some major side effect that this one doesn't. And of course, this one they're charging more for.
Of course, yeah, right. I'm sure. So Dr. Michael Royzen is my guest. Wait a minute, Mike. I got to ask you this one. Because you mentioned that, what about that side effect of jaw fractures and things like that that occasionally occurs with these other drugs? Does that occur with this Evenity?
No.
Good. Now, that's the key thing. Well, go ahead. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, but I'm saying, but the key is, get it, you know, if you look at the studies from Pittsburgh, 63% of Caucasians, 93% of African Americans are short of vitamin D by the end of April. And obviously, what that means is that's 93%. It's overall, if you look at it, we are not getting, you need vitamin D to absorb calcium, to absorb magnesium, and to absorb vitamin K2, all three of which are key to strengthening and laying down, that putting bone down. So you need calcium, you need magnesium, you need vitamin K2, and you need the vitamin D to absorb the others. And if 80% of us or so are short of vitamin D, there's no way you're going to do it. So you've got to make sure you can get your vitamin D level measured. You want to shoot for a level certainly over 20, hopefully in the 35 to 80 milligram per deciliter level, which is what you need to absorb enough calcium, magnesium, and K2 to be able to lay down bone. Then the key is to, if you will, shock your bone with microfractures. The way we build muscle is we do it when you lift a weight that's a little too heavy for you to do more than 12 reps at a time. You get micro tears in your muscle, and your muscle builds up stronger so you can't tear it the next time. Well, the same thing happens with bone when you get micro little tears in your bone, apparently. It builds it stronger. And so jumping is one of the best things for it. Weightlifting, weight-bearing exercises such as squats or lunges help you maintain bone, but they don't build it. They help you maintain it. But what builds it is actually jumping. And it also maintains the discs in your back. It keeps them lubricated, so it keeps them functioning younger. Now, you don't want to do this after you've already hit 98 and have no bone mass. So check with your physician to make sure you've got enough bone mass to do jumping. And it's just jumping jacks. You can do jumping jacks with your kids or your grandkids or your great-grandkids. And that's a way of you're staying young at the same time as you're having fun with your kids or your great-grandkids, et cetera.
Or your dog.
But the key point is you got to, even before that, you got to make sure you got enough vitamin D calcium, magnesium, vitamin K2.
All right. So, Mike, so jumping jacks or maybe jump rope, I'm sure that works. Impact exercises, right?
40 times a day, 20 in the morning, 20 in the evening, hit the peak. Doing it 60 times a day didn't give you any more benefit than 40 times a day.
Isn't that interesting? Good. So that's the lesson for the day for those listeners. Go ahead, Mike.
Now, running, if you run faster than 6.3 miles per hour, and some of us speed run, you're gliding and you don't get enough. If you run and run between 3.8 and 6.3 miles per hour, you actually get enough hitting the pavement hard enough that, or the track hard enough that you get those same microfractures that build bone as if you were jumping.
So Mike,
do
that,
it if
that,
you're not too fast.
Mike, that brings up an interesting question. Some of these sneakers now are so good, they really lessen the impact. Do you think that counters the benefit of running if you have really, really good cushiony sneakers?
Well, it doesn't hurt the cardiovascular or the other benefits of running, such as increasing the muscle increases, brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor, which increases your memory. There are tons of benefits of physical activity. But they may decrease the benefits of bone density.
Interesting. My guest this evening is Dr. Michael Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer Emeritus at the Cleveland Clinic and one of the brightest, one of the smartest doctors I know. He hates when I say that, but it is the truth. Mike, I want to thank you so much. Once again, give the name of your book and the new one that I happen to write something in. So that's coming out in the end of the year. I can't wait for that to come out.
Well, in fact, you wrote a key part, because essentially it is how to look as young as the inside of your body is, which is your expertise, of course, and what your products help do as well. But so, Arthur, you were key in the Great Age Reboot. We talk about a plan for your skin as well as for your muscles, your brain, your heart, your joints, et cetera. Go through the full thing, but also talk about the new science and how you're going to be able to get a reboot and what to do to prepare for that and how that will change you and society. And so how you will elongate your 20s, 30s, and 40s. That's called the Great Age Reboot, and you can pre-order it now on Amazon.
Oh, that's good to know. Pre-order the Great Age Reboot.
And the last one is What to Eat, the What to Eat When cookbook, which talks about how to do intermittent fasting a way that helps you stay young.
Great. All right. Dr. Michael Roizen, thank you so much for taking your time on this Saturday evening. It's always a pleasure. We'll have you back again. Thank you.
It's my privilege. And say hello to Noah. You're a great engineer for me.
And Noah is still here after 17 years. Hasn't left the room, Mike. It's almost true. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Michael Roizen. It's been a pleasure. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. There's more to the show. Stay tuned. 800-321-0710. We'll be back after these words.
Ladies, are you looking older than you feel? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. Aging is inevitable. We all know that, but I can help you age gracefully. I start with Botox to lessen frown lines, and I use the new Restylane Kiss. What a great name! To give you more kissable lips. No duck lips here. And I smooth the jawline and plump marionette lines with Juvederm. We might remove unsightly blemishes or even reduce splotchiness and rejuvenate the skin with a chemical or laser peel, or I can thicken crepey skin with Althera, and for the most dramatic rejuvenation, I perform short scarf face and neck lifts. Let's sit down in my Somerset, New Jersey or Beverly Hills offices for an hour consultation and come up with a plan to help you look better. Give me a call at 833-PERRY-MD. That's 833-PERRY-MD. Check me out on the web at perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And we are back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. The phone number 800-321-0710. We've got a really busy show tonight. I've got a great guest coming up. Dr. Christine Rohde is the brand new chief of the Division of Plastic Surgery at Columbia, where I am affiliated with. Dr. Rohde, thank you for taking time on your Saturday evening.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Arthur. It's great to talk with you.
Well, it's a real pleasure having you. Now, Dr. Rohde has this this background, which is a little intimidating. She graduated from Harvard Medical School. Okay, that's amazing. And then, of course, went to the Brigham and Women's for surgery across the street. I was at Beth Israel. We're the rivals. We think we're better than the Brigham, but you guys think you're better. So, you know. And then she trained in plastic surgery at Einstein Montefiore. With a special interest in microsurgery, did a fellowship at NYU, one of the great institutions for microsurgery. And she is the newly minted chief of plastic surgery at Columbia. And congratulations on that. That is really wonderful.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really honored to have this new position and honored to follow in the footsteps of Bob Grant, who you know well and has been on your show many times over the years. And he's built up the program to where it is today, and I'm happy to hopefully move it and grow it and take us in new directions.
And I'm sure you will. And it's an exciting time for you and an exciting time at Columbia. But I wanted to talk about some very troubling, very interesting thing in plastic surgery now. As some of my listeners know, over the last few years, we began talking about a type of cancer that was associated with breast implants. And you're an expert in this, much more so than I am. So why don't you tell the audience about what can happen with breast implants? What is the cancer? How frequently does this occur? Should people be worried? Tell us.
Sure. I think, first of all, it's something that we need to learn more about. It is a fairly new entity that was first identified in 2011 by the FDA after there were some case reports. And what this is it's breast implant-associated anaplastic large cell lymphoma, or it's a mouthful, but BIA-ALCL is what we call it. And it's important to note that it's not breast cancer in the traditional sense that we think of, but it's a lymphoma that seems to arise in relation to having had or having a breast implant. And it's a very, very rare lymphoma, and it's a very treatable lymphoma. So I think those are the two big things to realize. But at the same time, obviously, we always want to talk with patients about this possibility. And it's something that seems to be much more commonly associated with textured implants, which is a very specific type of implant.
So now women have been getting breast implants in the United States since, I believe, 1962, the first silicone implants. And there's probably, you know, I don't think we have real numbers, but we're talking probably 20, 30, 40 million women in the world with some sort of silicone breast implant in. And so, I mean, there's a lot of women. How many of these lymphomas have they identified at this point?
So the number does keep going up as we learn more about it, and the rate has initially was thought to be about 1 in 30,000 implants. That's probably more like 1 in 10,000, and as more and more cases are reported, it may be even less. But it's still, as you can imagine, a 1 in 10,000 chances of very, very low risk of getting this type of cancer. But there are signs and symptoms, and there are things, ways to recognize having ALCL. And it seems to most commonly happen with women who have had textured implants and have had those implants for at least 8 years. And the symptoms are symptoms of swelling of fluid around the implant that happens kind of all of a sudden after you've had an implant for many years.
So if a woman has a breast implant, let's say she had a breast augmentation or a breast reconstruction for cancer, let's say 5 years ago, and all of a sudden she notices in the shower maybe one breast is a little bigger than the other, what's the first thing she should do?
First of all, don't panic, but but do make an appointment to see if you still know the person who put in the implants, to see them. If you don't, then make an appointment to see a plastic surgeon. And what the plastic surgeon will do will be to take a history, do an examination, and then send you for an ultrasound and likely an MRI to look at the implant, to look for fluid. And if there is fluid, then to sample some of that fluid and then send it off for testing to see if it is ALCL. And many women may develop what's called a late seroma, where it's just fluid. It's not ALCL. It is something that can be bothersome and may result in needing to have that implant replaced, but it's not the lymphoma. Rarely among those patients you may get someone who does end up with the diagnosis of ALCL. And again, it's a rare thing. There's only about 600 cases that have been identified worldwide. And again, as you said, out of many, many millions of women who have had implants in.
So now let's take the scenario of a woman who really is concerned. And I have so many of my patients who have called me. And, you know, should they take out their implants? They've got textured implants. Let's say they've been in 10 years and they're just simply worried. What do you advise women to do with that scenario? No symptoms really, but just concerned.
Yeah. So it's always important to speak with a plastic surgeon and have a conversation, because with whatever we do, there's always risks and benefits. Now, the FDA does not recommend removal of textured implants if you have no symptoms, although there are some women who do choose to have that because of having some peace of mind and not worrying about it. But as with everything, there are risks. So if you take out perfectly fine implants that aren't bothering you and you have no symptoms, there's a risk of surgery, risk of anesthesia, risk of bleeding, risk of pain, and also the possible deformity of your breasts from having these longstanding implants removed. So it's definitely a discussion that you want to have with your plastic surgeon to really be able to go through the pluses and minuses of making a decision. But again, the FDA does not recommend women who don't have symptoms to have their textured implants removed.
Well, my guest this evening is Dr. Christine Rohde, who is the brand new chief of plastic surgery at Columbia University and also the chief of microsurgery. She's an exceptionally well-trained plastic surgeon. What is your phone number over there if patients want to get a hold of you? If they want for you to kind of give their blessing, give your blessing, examine their breasts if they have implants in and are interested in seeing you, what's your phone number at Columbia?
Sure. It's at 212-342-3707.
So go ahead and give that once again.
Sure. It's 212-342-3707. And as you said, I would be happy to see women who have any concerns about their breast implants.
And the website that you have for the Division of Plastic Surgery at Columbia, what is that, Dr. Rohde?
So if you go to columbiasurgery.org, and my website on there is /Christine-H-ROHDE-MD, which is a lot. So if you just remember columbiasurgery.org, you'll be able to find all of the great surgeons that we have in our division.
All right. So now we're talking with Dr. Christine Rohde about the very rare problem that some women, about 600 or so women, have had with mostly textured breast implants. So if a woman does come to you and say, well, how about let's do this. I've had my implants in 15 years. I'm really worried. I've got textured implants. Can you put in smooth implants? Would you do that? And do you think that makes a difference in the chance of getting that that type of lymphoma?
In general, I actually tell patients that implants really last about 10 to 15 years, because at some point in the lifetime of an implant, it's not really a permanent device. So you may need something done at some point, whether it's to switch out the size or if you get scarring around it, if they cause discomfort. So even this concern about lymphoma would be only a very, very small number of people who might actually want to have their implants changed out. So after 15 years, generally, the cosmetic and the feel of the implants may be such that you may, in fact, actually want them switched out anyway. Although there doesn't seem to be a link between ALCL and smooth implants, there are some women who have had ALCL with a prior history of having had textured implants. But that being said, switching them out for a smooth implant after 15 years, I think, can actually be of benefit cosmetically and be of benefit to how the implants feel, in addition to possibly decreasing the risk of ALCL. And the other thing to note is that it doesn't seem to matter whether your implant itself is made of saline or silicone, because it really has to do with the silicone shell that all the implants have.
Yeah, and that's so important. But the other thing that is a recent advance over the last few years is the development of these new ones. We call them the gummy bear implants or the cohesive gel implants, which, you know, I think they've got such a smaller chance of leakage. I think that probably is a benefit also if the implants are changed out. Do you agree?
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's always interesting that implant technology continues to get better and better, and we continue to learn more and more about implants. And the gummy bear implants don't, they're these cohesive gel that some people call gummy bear. It's because it kind of looks like a gummy bear if you try to rip one open, and they don't leak at the same rate. In fact, they don't really leak at all. It's more kind of a fracture if they quote unquote break. So that if you have some of these cohesive implants, then you'd expect the risk of leakage to be less.
Sounds good. Well, my guest this evening has been Dr. Christine Rohde, the new plastic surgery chief at Columbia. Thank you so much for taking time in your Saturday evening. The disadvantage of this show is on, during your dinner time, but the advantage is all those women who are driving into the city now have just learned an important lesson about breast implants from Dr. Christine Rohde. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's great talking with you, and thanks for inviting me.
I'm happy to. And there's more to the show. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. The phone number 800-321-0710. We will be back after these words. Did you know that most skincare is useless, even fraudulent and often toxic? I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. I needed great skincare for my patients, but really could not find products that dramatically improve skin health. So I went to the books, and I created a line of skincare that reduces the appearance of wrinkles and truly rejuvenates skin. I want everyone to try my products, and so for a limited time, I'm offering my Beauty in a Bottle Nighttime Serum at a great price. Normally, this is $65, but for WOR listeners, it's $40 plus shipping. Nighttime contains vitamins C and A, fruit acids, antioxidants, and skin brighteners. That's all you need for beautiful skin. It's so simple that your friends and relatives will be asking you, what are you doing to look so good? Go to drperrys.com, that's drperrys.com, or give us a call at 844-DR-PERRY. Use the WOR20 code for the discount. To learn more, listen every Saturday evening, 6 p.m., right here on WOR. Ladies, are you looking older than you feel? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. Aging is inevitable. We all know that, but I can help you age gracefully. I start with Botox to lessen frown lines, and I use the new Restylane Kiss. What a great name! To give you more kissable lips. No duck lips here. And I smooth the jawline and plump marionette lines with Juvederm. We might remove unsightly blemishes or even reduce splotchiness and rejuvenate the skin with a chemical or laser peel, or I can thicken crepey skin with Ulthera, and for the most dramatic rejuvenation, I perform short scar face and neck lifts. Let's sit down in my Somerset, New Jersey or Beverly Hills offices for an hour consultation and come up with a plan to help you look better. Give me a call at 833-PERRY-MD. That's 833-PERRY-MD. Check me out on the web at perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And we're back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. The phone number 800-321-0710. Did I mention that we are having a special? It's Father's Day tomorrow, right? So we're going to have a special starting right now. And those of you, I have a lot of people that send me emails. When are you going to have specials? We don't have as many as we used to, but today we do. And there's a code. There is a code. If you put in the Father's Day 21 code, you get 20% off all skincare, all my skincare, the Clean Time soap, which is the best soap on earth. It really is. It's great. the I almost said sun time. That's the secret that we have, the new sunscreen coming out soon, but not yet. But daytime, that's the SPF 20 sunscreen. We have nighttime, which combines vitamin A, vitamin C, fruit acids, antioxidants, everything you want in a skin. You know, skin nutrition is really the best way to put it. That's what we have in nighttime. And of course, the moisturizer that no one needs, Soft Time. What a bad marketer, right? No one needs it, except if you're perimenopausal or if it's the winter or you just can't give up your moisturizer. I've got the great one. All right, so all the products, 20% off. Go to the website, drperrys.com, and put in the code at checkout. It's Father's Day. Doesn't matter whether you capitalize it or not. Father's Day 21, you get 20% off. All right, so we were talking about facelift surgery, and it is one of my favorite procedures. I have to say that 30 years ago it wasn't, because, you know, it was a little more, not that it was more difficult, but I didn't like making those scars that women really had to hide. Sometimes we even tattooed the scars to be skin color. They're all gone now. The scars behind the ear are gone, and women are much happier with a short scar facelift. You know, if you look in the books, if you look online, there's probably almost 30 different types of facelifts being done in the United States. There's the one-layer facelift. You know, that was Joan Rivers, plastic surgeon, used to do that one. Then there was the deep ones, ones that go all the way down to the bone. There are these subperiosteal, fancy names, many, many different types of facelifts. And one of the things that's striking to me as a plastic surgeon is that no one, no plastic surgeon can show that their technique is any better than another plastic surgeon's technique. Interesting, isn't it? So the different types of facelifts are very, very comparable, and everybody can show good results. So, you know, what do? You don't choose the surgeon for the technique that they use. You choose the surgeon for the results that they get with whatever technique they use, which, you know, sounds kind of obvious if you think about it. So you want to choose someone that has good results doing facelifts, not that they're doing that facelift, you know, that you read about in Vogue or something like that. You know, their PR agent probably got them in that magazine to publicize that. And that's the truth, unfortunately. So that's the truth of facelifts. I do a two-layered facelift, which most plastic surgeons in the United States do, and a short scar facelift, because it really does have a great advantage. We don't want to put those scars up in the hairline. I do a pretty aggressive operation in the neck. I clean out the fat of the neck. That is a real aging appearance if you've got a fat neck. It really is. And I can give you the illusion of massive weight loss just by doing a facelift. If if you've got 8 ounces of fat in your neck and I suction it away during the facelift, boy, it really looks like you've lost a tremendous amount of weight. And then we have to fix the muscle, those bands that I talked about earlier in the show. We need to do that. And I call that a band lift. And sometimes it's enough just to do that, and that's called just a neck lift. But the times that I do a neck lift, it's probably only about 10%, maybe less, for all the facelifts that I do. And the times that I just do a cheek lift, don't have to do anything in the neck, conversely, that's probably another 5, 10%. But if you're, let's say you're 40 years old and you're just starting to get those jowls, and we can approach those in many ways. We might do that cheek lift. You know, some people call that the mini facelift. You know what I say about mini facelifts? It's kind of like being a little bit pregnant, right? It's a marketing term, you know, mini facelift. I don't know. You know, when people use those terms, they throw them around really to get patients to sign up for surgery. You know, is there really such a thing as a mini facelift? I don't know. But there certainly are variants of facelifts. But most people, certainly most people over the age of 50, require what I call just a facelift, which is a combination cheek lift and neck lift. And so we fix the bands in the neck, we remove the fat of the neck, the turkey gobbler, right? And we suspend the jowls, and I put stitches in that stay in about 6 months and then dissolve, lifting up those jowls pretty aggressively. And then I remove extra skin. And the real artistry of a facelift, the real artistry, this is where I tell the nurses, watch this very carefully as I do this. As I lift the skin of the cheeks, I'm looking at what's happening in the jowl and what's happening in the neck. And I need to lift just enough so that we accomplish what I want to do. I want to get rid of that extra skin of the neck and of the cheek, but not so much that I distort the features, the mouth, the cheeks, and certainly not so much that the earlobe hangs on the skin of the cheek, which looks absolutely terrible. And absolutely not so much that we hurt the skin, that it turns white and maybe blisters, heaven forbid. But those things happen. They can happen. So overdoing it in facelift, it's pretty common. It really is. There's a real artistry involved in doing a facelift. It's not just a mechanical, you know, do this step and this step and this step. There's real artistry. And I love teaching the residents how to do this because the moment of truth, you know, we spend, you know, 3 hours getting ready to do the final steps in the facelift, which are the ones that really count. The lifting of the skin to just the right amount. And then, of course, we sew things back, and the way we sew makes a big difference because I want your scars to be as good as possible. And so I sew the incisions in a couple different layers that we take out 5-6 days afterwards, pretty early. And then there's one stitch at the top of the ear. It's a pretty big stitch, and it's holding everything up. And I tell my patients, well, that's how you get better radio signals when you listen to me. You know, the hardest part of doing these procedures as a patient is having to listen to my my talking in the operating room and in the office. And those of you who know me, that's absolutely true. But certainly the facelift is a great procedure. And by a week, you look significantly better. And by 2 weeks, you're ready for makeup. You're ready to go out. And a lot of people ask me, well, how about men having facelifts? Very few men. You know, the statistics in the United States are ambitious. There are probably about 7% of facelifts, 8% of facelifts are men, but I would actually believe that's lower. The real number is lower. You know, there's a lot of wannabe statistics out there, and certainly our national society would love for, you know, that group of 65 million men to join the women and have facelifts. But the problem with facelifts in a man, yeah, one of the biggest problems is when I lift the skin, the hair-bearing skin of the cheek, and lift it back and put it inside the ear. Think about this, men. How about shaving inside your ear? Yeah, that's a problem. I try and destroy some of the hair follicles. I do, but some of them come through. And most men who have this operation already have gray hair. And if you have gray hair, I can't do laser hair removal either, right? We can only do laser hair removal if your hair is dark and your skin is light. So it's an inherent problem. Also, men don't like to wear makeup. They just don't. They don't have hair that is long enough to cover the incisions. And those are some of the reasons why, for a man, I really try and do a different operation. I'll try and do maybe no operation, maybe use Althera. Althera is high-energy focused ultrasound, which is safe in men and women and skin of all colors, light or dark, doesn't make a difference, but it's subtle. The effect of Althera is not what I wish it were, but it's not the effect of a facelift, and it's only a fraction of what we get. But let's say you have diabetes, for instance, or heart disease, and you just cannot have a facelift, or you're on blood thinners, or have some illness like rheumatoid arthritis where the skin just wouldn't survive the operation, then a procedure like Althera is really very nice because we can get in about 20% of the people that I do Althera. Remember, that's high energy focus ultrasound. It's a way of heating up the skin non-invasively to shrink it and generate new collagen. It'll lift the jowl just a little bit. It'll lift the brow just a little bit, and it'll help some of the crepiness of the skin. But the statistics are, when I do a facelift, well over 95% look at themselves and say, wow, you know, this is really, really good. And they look better and they go about their business and it lasts, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, depending on the person and the age it's done. Althera, not so good statistics. And that's the honest truth. You know, I'm always honest with my patients. I don't want unhappy patients. And if you tell people the truth like I do, then you make a real decision whether or not you're going to have a procedure. And like Althera, going into it, you know that only 20% of people get a wow reaction. That means you look in the mirror and you say, wow, that's really something. Althera did it. About 70% of people look at the result and say, yeah, it's better. And we show the pictures and they say, yeah, it's better. It's better. It's not a wow. It's not a facelift, but it's better. And about 10% of people say, you know, so which one was before and which one was after? And that's not a good situation. Those patients, I will repeat the Althera. And usually we convert those people to that second category of, yeah, you can see it and it's a worthwhile thing. But they're not as dramatic as the facelift results. They just aren't. There are no non-surgical techniques that are, with some exceptions. So fillers, absolutely. But fillers don't duplicate. They don't do what facelifts do. They supplement facelifts. And I do fillers in almost every facelift patient because they, fillers, rejuvenate the wrinkles, the folds around the mouth that a facelift can't do. we tried years ago. But when we try and lift the skin all the way to the corner of the mouth, we get distortion. So now I do facelifts, and I rely on these ancillary procedures like fillers. And I even do Ulthera in some facelift patients to get just a little bit more lift of the jowl, or to help what's called buccal fat. That's that fat that sometimes I remove, but sometimes we just kind of, we treat with ultrasound to, well, for lack of a better word, kind of beat it down a bit. And that's that fat that you suck into your mouth when you suck in. Well, Noah begins to shake his hands. I can see him from 100 miles away. He's saying, you know, the show's about to end. Finish up, Dr. Perry. My phone number during the week is 732-422-9600. We still haven't opened that New York office. We will. Stay tuned. We'll be in Tribeca. We'll be in New York real soon. And certainly we're in New Jersey seeing patients every single day, so give me a call. Perry Plastic Surgery is the website, and don't forget, check me out on Facebook, facebook.com/Dr. Arthur Perry, and 20% off all the products, 20%. That's a good deal. Go to drperrys.com and put the Father's Day 21 code in, and you'll be able to get those products. And so fathers out there can buy it for their wives, or you can buy it for yourself. Noah, thank you so much for great engineering, and thanks to my guests, Dr. Christine Rohde from Columbia and Dr. Michael Roizen from the Cleveland Clinic. A great show tonight. I think so anyway. And everybody have a wonderful week. Don't forget your sunscreen. We'll see you all 6 o'clock next Saturday. Bye-bye now.